Welcome to Parenting Matters on Nashville Catholic Radio, WBOU 100.5 FM, sponsored by the Family Life Office of the Diocese of Nashville. Your host for the program is Dr. Parr Donahue. Dr. Parr has years of experience in pediatrics and parenting. He was named the Senior Pediatrician of the Year by the Tennessee Chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics in 2014. Dr. Parr is the author of four books, including books on parenting entitled Messengers in Denim, The Amazing Things Parents Can Learn from Teens, and Tools for Effective Parenting. Visit Dr. Parr's blog at www.parentingwithdrparr.com. Here's your host, Dr. Parr Donahue.
Welcome to Parenting Matters on WBOU 100.5 FM and streaming throughout the world on WBOU.org. Our subject today, the domestic church. Our guest expert is the Bishop of Diocese of Nashville, the Most Reverend J. Mark Spaulding. I'll introduce him in a moment, but first my monologue. Let me emphasize to our non-Catholic listeners that the domestic church does not belong just to Catholics or Christians. It belongs to every thinking person, every family, everyone who believes in God. Through it, we are connected to God as an adjunct to our place of worship. God isn't only for the Sabbath, only for Sunday, or limited to churches or other places of worship, but as part of everything we do, think, or speak. The phrase domestic church came out of the Vatican II document, Lumen Gentium. In that document, St. John Paul II said, and I quote, "The family is, so to speak, the domestic church. In it, parents should, by their work and example, be the first teachers of the faith to their children. They should encourage them in the vocation which is proper for each of them, fostering with special care vocation to a sacred state." Later, he referred to the domestic church many times in his apostolic exhortation, Familiaris Consortium. He explains that, quote, "The Christian family constitutes a special, specific revelation and realization of ecclesiastical communion, and for this reason it can and should be called the domestic church," end quote. I have compiled information from the consortium and have hopefully translated it into a more English, American English, and easier to understand. And here's what I have learned. First, fruitful marriage love expresses itself in serving life in many ways. Of these, beginning and educating children are the most immediate, specific, and irreplaceable. Two, Christian families recognize all human beings as children of the same Heavenly Father. They respond generously to the children of other families and are able to spread their love throughout, beyond the bounds of flesh. Three, Christian families show great readiness to adopt and foster children who have lost their parents, who have been abandoned by them. Four, the concept of domestic church broadens the horizon of parenting. Through families, the Lord continues his have compassion on the multitudes. Five, and as we discussed in our show, Talking with Your Kids About Politics, Pope John Paul continues, quote, "The social role of families is called upon to participate in politics. Families should be the first to take steps to see that the laws and institutions of the state do not offend, but support and positively defend the rights and duties of the family. Families should be protagonists and assume responsibility for transforming our society. Otherwise, families will be the first victims of the evils that are so prevalent in our world today," end quote. Six, married couples and parents have their own special gift among the people of God. They are called upon to communicate Christ's love to their brethren and to be participants of the church's motherhood. And seven, the dignity and responsibility of the Christian family as a domestic church can be achieved only with God's unceasing aid through which it will be granted if we humbly and trustfully petition in prayer. So there's so much more that St. Pope John's writings say. But let's hear what Bishop Spaulding has to say about the domestic church. Let me tell you first a little bit about him. Bishop Spaulding was born and raised in Kentucky, attended college at St. Myriad Seminary, graduating with a bachelor's degree in history. He attended major seminary at Catholic University of Louvain, Belgium, and earned a SBTB degree in religious studies. After ordination, he continued graduate studies at Louvain, earning his licentiate in canon law. Bishop J. Mark Spaulding was ordained a priest for the Archdiocese of Louisville on August 3, 1991, by Archbishop Thomas C. Kelly, and was ordained the 12th bishop of Nashville on February 2, 2017. Welcome, Bishop Spaulding, to Parenting Matters on WBOU 100.5 FM and streaming throughout the world on WBOU.org.
Mm-hmm. It's good to be here, Par. Thank you.
Well, let's begin by telling our listeners how you like Nashville.
Well, Nashville is a wonderful city. It's most hospitable. It's been great for me to come into this town that seems to be on fire, whether you're talking economically or spiritually. I've also found that in the town as well. Of course, we're going through some trials and tribulations right now because of the coronavirus, but I see us getting back on our feet soon, and we'll be running in full measure. I say that both for our wider community and particularly for our church. And so it's been a great city and a great church to be welcomed.
I found that same thing when I moved here. People say, well, isn't it kind of hard to be a Catholic in the Bible Belt? And after living here for 10 years, I said, heck no, it's easy, because everybody is religious down here. And they all talk about God and about the Bible and about going to church and how important it is in their lives. I think it works in it. It has made me a more fervent Catholic.
I can't agree more. I do believe that we have a religious culture in this mm-hmm. state, and that is supportive of whatever denomination mm-hmm. somebody may be in. But especially in Roman Catholicism, I find a fervor here, and we got to keep that fire going.
This COVID-19 that you talked about has been an important, shows us how important I think the domestic church is.
Amen. Amen.
So, well, tell us, how do we negotiate some of the things that John Paul told us?
Well, a key image for us to ponder here is the domestic church is the basic cell, C-E-L-L, mm-hmm. of the body of Christ, the church. Mm-hmm. So that's the most basic. So husband and wife, mother and father, and their children, that basic cell forms the whole body in its love, in its compassion, in its justice. And we learn, first and foremost, God, who God is right there. And that insight into a God who loves and cares, that cared so much to send his son into the world, that spoke and did many things that show us what God wants for each of us, and then sends us the Holy Spirit. All that is, that basic, profound teaching is first taught to us by our parents in simple ways, just teaching us how to pray, just teaching us there is God, and a sensibility to a faith life is found from our parents first and foremost, and that's so helpful for each of us.
I think you're so right, and we talked before about many of our shows about how the parents are the first teachers of their kids, and it reminds me of the first thing you teach your kids is how to make the sign of the cross. And a few years ago, we were at our son's house, and his three grandkids were there, and we said grace for meals, and we got done, and his son, who was about seven, said, Grandpa, it's forehead, chest, shoulder, shoulder, not nose, chin.
They're very observant, even at extremely young ages and to know that the brain in those young ages is just a sponge that's soaking up everything around them in their environment. So I when I'm talking to parents and I say, do you know how much your children are watching and listening to you? And then I pause and I say, all the time. As soon as they have consciousness, they are watching and listening to you. And if you make faith a part of that life in the home, they take that, they absorb that immediately and watch. I personally, some of my earliest memories that I can even go back to in my life are around faith matters. of being in church, of the good that was there, of sometimes being a little frightened about church and what it means and why are we doing this. You know, remember the little kids, boys or girls, what do they do so often as soon as they can speak is ask the question, why? And when we can give, we believe in God, and sometimes they may not grab it the first time or even the second, but that we just keep explaining that God is important to us, that we, who Jesus is. You know, the little things of devotion, like setting up a manger scene around Christmas, of doing Palm Sunday and ashes, all those. I loved ashes when, you know, Ash Wednesday when I was growing up, because even before I could receive communion, I got to do that. Mm-hmm. Palms, going forward and receiving palms. My parents were big on making sure we got to participate in that. And so it was a great way to enter in devotional life even before we get into the profound sacrament of confession and First Communion is so important for us.
Bishop, I've heard people talk about the family as being sort of representative of the Trinity. Absolutely. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, first and foremost, we understand the Godhead, who God is for us as Trinity, as relationship. Father in His love. I just spoke about this at Mass this morning. Father being love itself, and that kind of love we understand for God, that God is, goes out. It must go out. It must create. And in the midst of that God that creates is the Son, who is one with Him from the very beginning. And in that relationship of Father and Son to Father, that love shared between the two of them, we consider the Holy Spirit. So all that we know of God is that His love goes out, His love is even within. And when we think of the family, it is relationship. It is Father loving Mother, Mother and Father loving their children, and then children returning that love. And so in that communion of God, we also connect that to the communion of family. And that's a wonderful thing to even ponder, that God places His love into our hearts, the same kind of love that is part of His very essence. And that love in our heart can't be kept to ourselves. It has to go out. So man going out to woman, woman return and loving the man, the husband, and both of them sharing in that love unconditionally brings forth children into the world. And the interchange of that love that is so powerful, we keep in mind. So as we understand love itself, we understand the Trinity. As we understand relational part of that, we understand the family as well.
No, I appreciate that.
I hope I answered the question.
You did. It was okay. Very good, because I often think about that, and we think about God as being the Father, but that doesn't mean He's not the Mother too. But I mean, yes. It's that the whole concept of Trinity, I think, works so well in the family. You know, many years now, I probably shouldn't even tell you this story, but it's not confession time, okay? But many years ago, when I was first married, we had a few kids, I said to my wife, wouldn't it be great if when every man was married, he'd be ordained so he could have the sacraments every day in his house?
Wow.
And, of course, there's a lot of problems with that concept. But, I mean, I think that's how important the sacraments are, and we're missing them now in,
yes,
the time of and we have to relate to the spiritual sacraments in the home. Now, when I first thought about the domestic church, I was thinking, well, back when I was a boy, we had, May was the month of our mother, the Blessed Virgin, and we had a little altar. It wasn't an altar, it was a little table, and we put a statue of Mary on there, and we'd bring flowers. Of course, in Minnesota, in May, about the only flowers you get is dandelions, but mm-hmm. we got them, and we had some coming towards the end of the month, some peonies and some other nice things. Is that part of the domestic church, or is that just...
Well, I'm going to say two things. I want to back up to your story you just kind of related concerning your family. Understand that the ordained priesthood and the otherwise known as the ministerial priesthood, and also all people share through baptism the priesthood of Jesus Christ and the general kind of priesthood that all of us have through baptism, and that when a father and a mother lead their family, there's a sharing in that priesthood of Christ that is happening there. A lot of times people wonder where certain references happen in the church. When a priest is called father, it's actually a reflection of the role of the father in the family. Mm-hmm. It was taken in the early church on by so many ways of calling that priest in their community father, because it was the father who blessed. It was the father who led in prayer. And because of that leadership, that became a title that was tied to all priests, mm-hmm. and we still hold it today. And also, St. Paul, he used it when he was referring to so many in his community, that you call me Father, and rightly so. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times some of our Christian friends ask, well, didn't Jesus say, call no one Father? You'll get a letter like that. Well, he uses exaggeration to make his point. We keep that in mind in that situation. But from the earliest part of our church, priests were seen as father. And to your second point, we do need, and I mentioned this earlier, we need to be aware of devotions. Our children take in everything. They can take in so much in their mind and intellect when they're young and understanding. They take in other things, as such as Marian devotions. When you place those kind of devotions, Marian devotions or mangers or other kind of cross and crucifixes in the home and doing all this kind of things, we need to place sacramentals around us. Along with our own teaching and preaching needs to be these supports of sacramentals. And so it's very profound that parents, grandparents, and godparents place sacramentals, those devotional things around our children, help them understand who God is, who Jesus Christ is, who the Blessed Mother is, who the saints are. It's wonderful to have those in the home.
But can you talk a bit about, we mentioned it a little now, the father's role. What about the mother's role?
Well, my mother, God rest her soul, was a great example of how a mother loves and cares, has compassion. There is a feminine leadership that's in the home given by every mother, and to walk with her husband together in raising the family. And when my mother died and at her funeral, I said, when I was raised, I always experienced my dad as justice and my mother as mercy. Mm-hmm. And if you look at Scripture, you look at our prayers, and you look at so many things in the teaching of the church, they walk together always. Justice and mercy are linked in our scriptural tradition and in our teaching. And my parents, and it's a great gift that I've received. I'm not saying they were perfect, and they didn't raise a perfect son. I can testify to that above all. But yet they complemented each mm-hmm. other, and that complementary leadership in the family is so important.
Celebrating of the holidays, I think, is an important part of the domestic church.
Amen.
And even holidays like birthdays and graduation, all those other times we come together and we share that community, I think, which is part of the domestic church, is it not?
Yes, absolutely. One of the key things that the virus has done that, and was always there with other holy days and holidays, was how the family comes together at table. And one of the things that I've seen in the news lately is how many parents have said the silver lining of this dark cloud that we're living in or under is that I sit down with my family and we have meal together. That meal together is very important for us, because in all the cultures throughout time, meal was a defining moment. And for us as Roman Catholics that understand the Mass, the Eucharist, the Eucharistic banquet, Mass is a defining moment for us. And therefore, right now as we are separated from it due to the situation we're in. We yearn for it, but we also have to have a paradigm in our minds and in our hearts about what it means to sit down at meal together. And our parents help preside over that table. And so when we come to Mass, to have that basic paradigm in mind and in heart for our children, they can better understand, oh, this is what Mass is. This is what it's about. It's about sitting down together. It's about storytelling. It's about remembering who we are as a family of faith together. And it's about nourishment. And then once we are nourished, it's about going out into the world, taking what values and dreams and ideals with us into the world that we sort of reflected about and took into ourselves while we were at table.
It's so important. We've talked about it so many times in our shows about the importance of eating together.
Amen.
Sitting down, not just eating in the car when you're driving to the next soccer practice.
Exactly.
Or whatever. Bishop, it's important what John Paul wrote.
Amen.
But Bishop Olmsted from Phoenix wrote an apostolic exhortation to Catholic men called Into the Breach. And he began with these words: "The world is under attack by Satan, as our Lord said it would be. This battle is occurring in the church herself, and the devastation is all too evident. Since AD 2000, that is 2000 AD, 14 million Catholics have left the faith. Parish religious education children have dropped by 24%. Catholic school attendance has dropped by 19%. Infant baptism has dropped by 28%. Adult baptism has dropped by 31%, and sacramental Catholic marriages have dropped by 41%. This is a serious breach, a gaping hole in Christ's battle lines. While the Diocese of Phoenix has fared better than most, the losses are staggering." Well, Bishop, how does our diocese rate in those situations? How are we doing?
Well, as we began, we talked about the blessing it is to be here in Nashville. Mm-hmm. And in Middle Tennessee, because the culture of faith is truly present here. And so we're blessed. I would say that probably our numbers may or may not be those kind of dark numbers. But even saying that, I still can tell you that where we were 30 years ago or even 20 years ago is not where we are now. Mm-hmm. Concerning the depth of faith. But we have on the other side, more and more people are moving into this area, and our church is actually growing.
Mm-hmm.
Right now.
Mm-hmm.
But all of those concerns that Bishop Olmsted brought forward are my concerns as well. We have to kind of look at things and bring our faith more strongly into the present situation. This morning's gospel talked about Jesus saying, "I am the light that comes into this darkness that we face." And so we need to bring the light of Jesus Christ. We need to bring who it is, and we come to know him in our prayer life, through our sacramental life, through study of Scripture in every way possible. And then we need to speak it to our children, to our grandchildren. You know, sometimes people challenge me with numbers like this, and a bishop, what are you going to do? And I'm like, no, what are we going to do? What do you say to your children, your grandchildren, your godchildren? Do you talk to them? Please tell them, and I say this, please tell your children you love them, but never forget to say as well, we are a people of faith. We are a family of faith. We believe. Because if you want to give your children the greatest gifts of all while they're growing up, and the most precious of gifts you can give them is the great gift of faith. And so speak up, say you love them, but every time you say, "I love you, darling," say this: "I love you so much that I'm willing to also tell you that I'm a person of faith. I love God. I love my church. I love Jesus. And I'm going to tell you about him."
Well, I think that's so important. If it comes from the parents, then learn it first. That's where it needs to come from. The I was very impressed by Bishop Olmsted's mm-hmm. exhortation, and I'm very excited because the Knights of Columbus have picked that up, and they have started this thing called Into the Breach, yes. And they have 12 different points they make in 12 different short videos. But we're running out of time. I'm so sorry.
But the time has flown by.
Hasn't it been?
Thank you.
Yes, it's been so exciting. Thank you, Bishop Swalley, for spending this time with us. And thank you, too, our listeners. Without them, we wouldn't be here. So thank you for being on Parenting Matters on WBOU 100.5 FM and streaming throughout the world on WBOU.org. Now, before I go, one more story.
Wonderful.
I became aware of the domestic church several years ago when our daughter, Maura, presented her paper at our family reunion, which we call a symposium. At the symposium dinner, which is this in this instance was held in our home, each member presents a short paper on a pre-announced topic. The topic this year was food. Here's what Maura had to say, and I quote, "When we were kids, almost all of our meals were eaten together as a family at this table. I've come now to realize as I sit with my own children around my own family's table that meals aren't really about food. They're about the people that come to break bread together. Through our everyday meals, we learn about each other and from each other. When we were growing up, at our meals we discussed not just the events of each person's day, but also the social and political issues relevant to the times. We learned how to think, how to feel, how to love. Now I can see that family meals help to build community. Each member makes time for the meal, sacrificing other duties, other work that could be done, to make time for each other. We bless each other and honor each other through this sacrifice. Most times we do so willingly, since we feel responsible to each other as members of a family community. Today we come to this table to celebrate our symposium meal. We look at this beautiful feast set on the table before us. Mom and Dad have said, eat and drink. We made this for you. This food is here for us to enjoy, to strengthen us, and to let us know how much they love us. Yet this family meal is also about more than just our family. It is within the family structure that children learn that love and justice are connected. The love shared between parents and the love they have for their children must flow outward from the table, from the family, into social, civic, and political commitments. Families must first gather as communities of love in their own homes before they can be communities of love in the world. It is our calling as family." She went on to say the calling is part of what Pope John Paul called the domestic church. Oh, by the way, she won the family trophy for the best paper that year, too. Now for your homework, sit down with your family, go to www.parenting-matters.com and listen again to today's show. Then discuss with your family the practices related to the domestic church. Decide if anything needs to be added to your family or subtracted from your family's activities. Then return to the website, click on homework, and write a comment on what changes you expect to make. And if there's a topic you would like to hear discussed on Parenting Matters, let us know. We'll find an expert to discuss it. Thanks for listening, and may God continue to bless you and your family.
Thank you for listening to another edition of Parenting Matters with Dr. Parr Donahue. Parenting Matters is produced and recorded inside the studios at the Catholic Pastoral Center. Thanks again for listening to WBOU 100.5 FM and streaming at WBOU.org.